What happens when a man dates the wrong girl? For most of us, we'll just have an interesting story to tell. But this man is cursed. Cursed with the worst possible curse in human history. And then we go back to the basement to take a look at a band that's rocking out. But as they tune their guitars and rump-a-tump-tump their drums, little do they know they're about to awaken a disturbing evil. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. Hope you guys are having a great day too. Hope you guys had an awesome weekend. I went and saw that Civil War movie. I enjoyed it. I know it's getting mixed reviews, but I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I like Kirsten Dunst. I like stuff blowing up. Peanut butter and jelly, those two things. That's the one thing Bring It On was lacking, was a civil strife in a war-torn America. But someone who loves Kirsten Dunst even more than me walking into Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Everyone get on your feet and give it up for Cole. Woohoo, yeah, wee, ha ha, yeah, coming on in to Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Cole, along with his buddies, the members of the Mule Crew, they came and saw me speak live at the Oregon Ghost Conference, and I really appreciate meeting you guys in public. I think it's totally awesome, and I appreciate, if you can't meet me in person, I appreciate all the emails and everything you guys send me too, so. Cole, I met him at the Oregon Ghost Conference along with his group, the Mule Crew. It's his little ragtag group of freedom fighters who will be legendary in the upcoming real-life Civil War. Cole came out of his way to go to the Oregon Ghost Conference. That's why you're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. If you guys can't come to any of the live events, if you guys can't support the show financially, that's fine too. I don't want you guys to ever feel left out. Just help spread the word about Dead Rabbit Radio. That helps out so much. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. Cole, let's go ahead and get this party started. I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys to the Jason Jalopy. We're going to leave behind Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Drive us all the way out to jail. We get all the way to the jail, and we're walking through the metal detectors, emptying our pockets out, and the cops are like, you gotta take your belts off too, sir. So, I'm taking the belt off. And then we're walking around. Pants, I've completely fallen off. They're like, sir, you can put your belt on now. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm just gonna walk around with my pants around my ankles. We're headed all the way out to this jail because we're about to meet a young man. We're gonna call him Freddy. We don't have his exact name, but Freddy is currently incarcerated. And we see him standing in his cell, and he's like, oh, no, no, oh, no, no, and he's screaming. And we asked his cellie, we're like, dude, what's up with Freddy? And the guy's like, dude, I don't know. Like, every so often, Freddy just, like, freaks out. You know, being locked up can be stressful, but, you know, like, that guy's in a league of his own. We see him in the corner going, no, stop, stop, blah, blah, and he's enough. He's not even thrown up in the toilet. He's thrown up all over the floor. The guy's like, dude, I'm going to have to shank him tonight if he doesn't get better. Don't shank him. Don't shank him. Maybe we can help. We walk up. We're like, Freddy, is everything okay? He's like, no, no, stop, stop. I know, please stop. And then he kind of falls silent for a second. He's just kind of in a fetal position in the middle of the cell, and we're like, is this better? I mean, now he looks catatonic, but I guess he's not screaming wildly. He's no longer throwing up. He's rolling around in the fetal position for a moment or two, and then he goes, no, no, not again. Not again, no, it's too soon. No! Dude, what's up with this guy? The year is 2024. Freddy, who's currently incarcerated, calls his buddy, we'll call him Jake, his buddy on the outside. One day he calls him Jake and he goes, Jake, oh my God, things are terrible. Things are, if you didn't know, things are terrible in jail. It's a horrible place to be. That's not why I'm calling you, Jake. I need you to do me a favor. Jake's like, okay, man, whatever you need. Like, what do you need? And Freddy goes, listen. There's this girl I used to date. A couple years ago. Let's call her Tabitha. There's this girl I used to date back in 2020. And things were good. We were just chilling, you know? But she wanted a boyfriend. And I just wanted a friend with benefits. And she really wanted to stay with me. And I guess I must have broke her heart. Now, I didn't mean to. I thought I set realistic expectations, but she wanted me so bad, Jake. She wanted me so bad, and I broke her heart. And a lot of members of her family are into black magic, curses, stuff like that, voodoo dolls, specifically. Jake, I think they have a voodoo doll of me. I think this family on the outside, they made a voodoo doll of me and they're activating it while I'm in jail and I can't do anything. I'm locked up. Can you? Listen, man, this is one big ask. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of favors. So I'm going to ask you to do, hey, can you help me move this weekend? Yeah, sure. I need you to figure out how to destroy the voodoo curse that is placed upon me. Only then can I relax in jail. Only then can I be truly free, even though I'll still be behind bars. Now, Jake is the one who posted, we're not done. That was just the prologue, because this story, again, might classify as one of the worst curses ever. Jake posted this online. He's trying to figure out, how do you stop a voodoo doll curse? How do you destroy it? Of course, he posted this online. Nobody knows what in the world they're talking about. Everyone gives them dumb advice. And if anyone needed, and I don't know, right? I don't know either, but I know what bad advice is. None of it was good. He's trying to figure out a way to destroy the bond of this voodoo doll to his friend. Now, he doesn't tell us why his friend's in jail. I keep saying jail. We don't know if the friend's in jail or prison. Because there's a big difference between the two. We don't know what he's locked up for. We might have set a doll store on fire. There's 100 dolls here. One of them must be mine. We don't know why he's in jail. But anyways, he calls up Jake and he goes, you have to destroy, or he doesn't say destroy the voodoo doll. That's what I keep going to, because that's what I would think of. But you got to help me break the voodoo curse. And you have to wonder too, Jake's like, that's just weird. Right, I thought you were going to call up and ask me to, like, maybe smuggle in some cigarettes or put some money on your books or whatever, but now you're asking me to stop a voodoo curse. But, you know, Freddy can't do it himself. Freddy's locked up. So Jake's trying to figure out how to break this curse. The internet's completely useless to him. No one can give him any really good answers. So he's going to have to keep doing some digging. Now, I think you could destroy the voodoo doll. You keep shaking your head. You're like, no, Jason, that's the worst thing you could do. I'm like, oh, just throw it in the fire. And your friend in jail's all, ah, the nerve endings. I feel the burn. Maybe find the family and be like, hey, did you guys make a voodoo doll of my friend Freddy? Because it's really, like, affecting him. If you guys could, like, stop. If you guys could stop with your infernal black magic that's torturing his soul, that'd be great. But that can also backfire, because then they could go, yeah, sure, we'll help him out. Hey, what's that? And you turn and you look and they pull one of your hairs out real quick and then they make a voodoo doll of you. Because what they've done with this voodoo doll, I would not wish this on anybody. Because Freddy tells Jake what's going on. Freddy tells Jake, he goes, here's the thing. Sometimes I'll be sitting in my cell. I'll feel my limbs start to tingle. And sometimes it's a zapping pain through my limbs. Sometimes I will feel like I'm not in control of my body. And I'm like kind of like walking around my cell like a robot, which would be hilarious. You're like knocking over your cell. He's Top Ramen. Oops, sorry. Not me. Just the voodoo doll. Poor guy who has to share a cell with Freddy. Like, oh, not the voodoo doll thing again. He goes, sometimes I walk around. I can't control what I'm doing. Which again, I mean, that's bad. But if you're doing that in jail, you're shanking guards. You're like, I can't stop. I can't stop. It could get really bad. He says, I hear these voices 24 hours a day. I'm hearing these voices telling me things. And they're making me forget stuff. And Jake says, he goes, as we're talking on the phone, I can hear Freddy kind of like struggle with saying things, with certain thoughts. And you go, Jason, well, this sounds like a mental illness. Like the beginning of schizophrenia or the middle of schizophrenia. Maybe. But what takes the cake? What seems like whatever he did to this girl, broke her heart apparently, does not... Okay, if you break some girl's heart and she makes you walk around like a robot, whatever, right? Tit for tat. But he goes, I hear the voices all the time. I can feel jolting pains in my limbs. Sometimes I walk around like a robot. I can't control it. But the worst thing of all is that the voices in my head, because it's black magic, know things that I shouldn't know. And Jake's like, you mean like ancient languages or like astronomical facts that only a demon would know because they've been flying around the universe? And Freddy's like, no. Those things I would want to know. I shouldn't know them because I haven't been trained in them, but I would want to know. These are things that I should not know, that no person should ever know. Freddy says that from time to time, he'll just be sitting there, and the voices will tell him when his mother starts masturbating. Okay, might be the worst curse ever. It gets slightly worse. You can't get much worse than that. The voices will tell him whenever his mother is masturbating and will tell him who she is thinking about. This sounds like the worst curse ever. You're literally sitting in jail and all of a sudden you hear, she's doing it again. I'm going to make some creepy extra voices. So do some special effects.
She's doing it again.
She's doing it again.
She's taking off her bathrobe.
She just took a shower.
And she's all sweaty. It was a really hot shower. Like, what? She couldn't even wash the sweat off of her sweaty mom body. Your mom's body. You're like, ah. Yes. Oh, look at it. She's reading that magazine with John Stamos on the cover. Yet again. No. Oh, she's imagining that they're on a beach. They're on Kokomo. And John Stamos just got done playing the drums. And now he's going to play the bongo. Your mom's bongo. You're all confused. You're like, wait, huh? What's my mom's bongo? And then, I don't know if they give a blow-by-blow, right? I don't know if they're like 50 Shades of Grey. She slipped off her negligee. It landed on the ground. John Stamos stepped forward and removed his shirt, revealing a chiseled six-pack. I don't know. I don't know if they do that. Or if they just go, if they're just sitting there and they go, oh, by the way, your mom's masturbating. And she's thinking about Christopher Walken. You're like, huh? I prefer none of them. If I had to choose, I would choose the second one. Because that way you don't really have to think about it. It doesn't say in the narrative they gave a blow by blow. But if I was a demonic voice from beyond, I think I would go into detail. Her skin is flushed. Look at how red her cheeks are. You're like, Every time his mother masturbates, Freddy knows and knows who she's thinking about. That's definitely whenever he gets out of jail, he's not in for the rest of his life. He might check himself into a lunatic asylum after this, but imagine that. Like, how are you going to have Thanksgiving again? You're at the house, big turkey's there. All the kids and grandkids and grandparents are all there, and your mom walks in and she's like eating turkey. And then, that's fine, right? But then she goes, oh, I forgot something in the kitchen. She walks into the kitchen and you hear these voices. They're like, you know what she's doing. She's thinking about the mailman. You're like, oh, man. So, yeah, this might be the worst possible thing. No one would want to know this information. Now, Hugo, Jason, it honestly sounds like this guy might be mentally insane. If he wasn't before, he definitely is now. But you go, maybe he's just suffering from schizophrenia. Maybe he's hearing these voices and these jolts in his body. We don't know why he was in jail. Maybe he acted out and he's misdiagnosed and put in jail. That's true. It 100% could have nothing to do with voodoo dolls or black magic. It could be a mental illness. I would still say it doesn't matter. I mean, I guess it does. I guess you can medicate schizophrenia. But even if you were just imagining it, what if there are no voices? What if it's all in his head? And he's sitting there, and he's doing push-ups in the gym, and all of a sudden he hears, your mom is watching that video of Matlock, that old Matlock man, taking off his suit, his wrinkly skin, beads of sweat rolling down them like a Plinko board. You're like, no, no, no. Even if it was made up, it's still incredibly disturbing. And actually, I think in this case, it might be better if it was real. Because if it's made up, it could say all sorts of crazy things. It could say, because it's making stuff up, making your mom do stuff that she would never do, making her fantasize about, you know, people she never fantasized about. But if it's real, then you can quiz her, right? You can be like, hey, mom, just a question. Have you ever thought about having sex with Gary Coleman? And she's like, what? No. And you go, oh, okay. Those just hallucinations in my brain that told me that. She's like, what? You go back to the hospital. If it's real and you know it's real, then you know all of her intimate sexual secrets. If it's fake and you know it's fake, then you know it was just all in your head. If it's schizophrenia and he starts taking medicine for it or getting treatment for it, then he can go, oh, my mom didn't actually have sex with P.T. Barnum or fantasize about having sex with P.T. Barnum in the center of the ring as the elephants were watching from the sidelines. You'd go, that was made up. If it's true, if these are actually spirits talking to him and telling him the truth, he'll know everything about her. He'll know every sexual secret of hers. Which you could argue is kind of a good thing, because when he goes to like buy her a gift, she's all Full House on DVD. Who knew that I love this show so much? And you're like, I don't know. Just a little voice in my head told me you were a fan of John Stamos. You also got to wonder, too, when we wrap it up like this, if this story's true, it could be, right? Voodoo dolls, magic, that's stuff we talk about on Dead Rabbit Radio. What if you're somebody's mom? Not in the case that you're literally somebody's mom, because I know some of you people are moms, but what if someone else is cursed with knowing who you think about when you masturbate? Like, how deep does this go? For all I know, this could be like a go-to thing. I say this is the worst curse. This could be like super common because it's so distracting. What if someone else who like met you once and was like, oh, that guy's kind of weird. Now they've been cursed by a voodoo master and they know every time you masturbate and they know who you think about. What if this is like some big chain letter? Who knows? Who knows how deep these spells go, but Freddy knows because Freddy's currently being cursed by it. It's not theoretical for him. Hopefully he gets the help he needs. Hopefully Jake is able to find out what's going on here. Oh, and then there is a thing. The family apparently, because he doesn't just assume that they're doing this. They've contacted him at some point. I don't know if it was when he was in jail or before that, but they have also made a voodoo doll out of his mother. He knows that. So that could be part of the connection there. It's also possible that she knows every time he masturbates and who he thinks about. So it's just disturbing. It's just disturbing all around. It's probably the worst way anyone could be cursed. Because then you're just like, I'm never going to masturbate again. A truly terrifying curse. I can think of very few things that would be worse than this. Knowing every time your mom is masturbating and who she's thinking about. That's in the top five, right? That's easily in the top five worst curses possible. That story is posted by Jake underneath the name Boston Mass 23. So it's possible the story is taking place in Boston. So just imagine the whole story I told you. But imagine it in a wicked accent. Cole, let's go ahead and toss you the keys. He's like, nope, I'm out. I don't even want to know what this next story's about. Cole, come back here. We're going to toss you the keys to the world famous Carpenter Copter. We are leaving behind jail. Fly us all the way out to Northern United States. Headed all the way out to the Northern United States. Maybe, based on a couple of little context clues, that's what I gathered. We don't have an exact location, an exact name. The story, though, does take place in the early 1990s. We're in a historic district of this town, and we're about to meet a young girl. Let's call her Felicia. Now, back in 1905, a house was built in this area, and it's just stood there ever since. It's a nice, old-timey house. Very quaint would be a good way to put it. And Felicia's mother's cousin owned this house, and they converted this house into two apartments. And Felicia lived in one apartment, and then some of her friends took the other apartment. So not only do you have like this kind of cool thing where your landlord's your relative, as long as you get along with them, but you get to live with your friends, and not really live with them, but live next door to them, which is even better. Because if you're actually living with them, then things can get a little hectic. But Felicia and her friends, they're more than just a group of pals. They're colleagues in the world of grunge music. Dun it, dun it, dun it, dun it. Do you wanna die? Dun it, dun it. Do you wanna die? Oh, no, 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 guys. We're not getting the rhythm section right. Where are my drums at? Yeah. You gotta bang those. He's like, just sitting behind. He says, my first day being a drummer. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. You, bang those drums. You, bass boy. Yeah, do that. And I'm the lead guitarist and the singer. Let's try this again. They're in a grunge band. And it's pretty dope, right? They're in this old house. I mean, it totally would look great if you shot your album cover in here. It looks grungy, right? It's an old house. It's a grungy house. You're a grunge band. All the flannel in the world. They actually have the basement to this house. It's kind of an odd setup. They have a basement. And then that's like a small storage area. But then there's a door to another basement. The actual basement is what they call it. That's where you have the washer and the dryer and the boiler. So we're going to call the first one just the storage room, the second one the basement, just because the characters do move back and forth between here. After they move in, they start rehearsing in this basement. And they don't just play that cheap stuff. When they kick it hard. Felicia says that when they were playing music, the whole building shook. Probably literally, right? The building code wasn't great. 1905, windows are shattering. After they're getting all this stuff set up, they're moving and all that, and then one day they have just a really long practice session. I was about to start doing another song. They're like, okay, I get it. They're musicians, Jason. After a really long practice session, man, that sure was cool. Let's go upstairs and get some Sunny D. They go up into the main house after their long practice session. When they're up there, all of a sudden, they hear a sound that is described. It's a sound that none of us have ever heard, but once I say it, you'll be like, oh, that is very evocative. She goes, it sounded like a lunatic with a sledgehammer was destroying everything. It was so loud, and so just the sound was destructive. It sounded like things were just being smashed to bits. And everybody heard it. Felicia, her boyfriend. I don't know if her boyfriend's actually in the band or if he's just a groupie. But yeah, Felicia, her boyfriend's there. Bandmates are there. It's not a spooky, creaking door. It's not a raccoon scuttling across the attic. It's the sound of a lunatic with a sledgehammer destroying everything down there. And Felicia goes, hey, honey, do you want to like maybe look down there and make sure someone's not destroying all of our gear? And the boyfriend goes, no, I'm not going to do that. There clearly is someone down there with a sledgehammer. I say we just stay up here and let him do what he needs to do. Well, Felicia, she said that She went down. And right when she's coming down that flight of stairs into the storage room, that first basement, the noise stopped. Now, they haven't been in this house for super long at this point. She assumes, and this is something that people do all the time, you hear something that's completely bizarre, or you'll see something that's completely bizarre, and you'll immediately try to find a logical explanation for it. That's a good thing. She goes, it must have been the boiler. She goes, maybe the boiler, something was wrong with the boiler. She goes back upstairs. Every once in a while, Felicia or her roommates, band members, whoever is over there, every once in a while they'd hear something weird. But just weird. Nothing so notable that it would cause alarm. Just an odd noise you couldn't place. One time, Felicia had to go downstairs to the actual basement to use the washer and dryer. And she gets down there and she's putting the clothes in the washer, and all of a sudden she hears a, oh. She described it as the, quote, deepest, loudest, most heartfelt and mournful moan, unquote, that she had ever heard. Oh, I'm trying to get it right. Give me one more chance. Oh, one of those three. And she said it felt like it surrounded her. She was enveloped by it. It was more than just a sound. It was a sensation. She figures, again, right? She's the only one in the basement here. She figures it's one of her roommates. Somebody found an old Care Bear that they used to love, packed it away in one of their boxes at the very bottom. Something. She goes upstairs and she looks. She's the only one in the house. All of her roommates are gone. One day she is hanging out of the house and one of her bandmates goes, "Hey, Felicia, just a question. You know, I just thought it was odd because you don't normally dress like this. Why were you wearing that dress earlier? It looked good. I just never see you in a dress." Felicia goes, "What?" The bandmate goes, "Down in the basement. I saw you walking around. You were wearing a dress." Sometimes her bandmates would tell her that they would see a woman in the basement. And she was standing back by this furnace where they would store their equipment. They would just see this woman standing there. They go, never got a really good look at her. So at this point, you have to stop thinking there's a rational explanation for this. At this point, you're having multiple witnesses. I get it. The sounds you could equate with all sorts of things. But multiple people are seeing phantoms. Felicia begins to have these dreams. They were dreams unlike any dreams she had before. They were graphic nightmares of her being murdered in that house. She says, "I would see myself being murdered in this house, and I would wake up. And when I woke up from these nightmares, and I'm laying there in the darkness, I would always have the distinct feeling that there was someone in this house who shouldn't be here." Over time, just the place is getting creepier and creepier, specifically the basement. It just becomes so unsettling, they decide to stop even practicing there. If you've ever worked in music, having a steady rehearsal space is key. And they're like, we'll play outside or we'll pay for a rehearsal space somewhere. We'll find a garage if we have to. We're not going to do it down here no more. Because we're getting creeped out. Felicia, even though she has a washer and dryer, has said, nah, I'm good. I will pay to go have my clothes washed at a laundromat and then go down into those basements. I don't want to go down there. But on this particular day, there was an emergency and Felicia needed her laundry done right now. She had thrown her clothes in the washer a while ago and now it's time to put them in the dryer. And she comes down the stairs into the storage room and she notices that the door to the actual basement is open. She's walking towards the door and there's an old man kind of standing there right in the doorway. And she walks by and she sees him and she kind of actually turns her body so she can walk past him without disturbing him. Like if someone was holding the door open for us, sometimes you have to kind of maneuver our way in. And she just leans to the side, walks past him, walks into the actual basement, and then she stops. It takes her that long to realize what she has just seen. She's standing there with her back to the door, the back where the old man was standing against, in this basement, and she realizes, I just walked past an old man. I've never seen him before. He shouldn't be here. She turned around and ran as fast as she could out of the basement, through the storage room, up the stairs, and waited in the living room until her roommates came back. She said, you know, in retrospect, that door leading to the actual basement was always shut. We always shut it. And as I was walking through the storage area towards the actual basement and I saw the door opened, I didn't think anything of it. When I think about it, it 100% should have been a red flag because that door was always shut. She goes, as I was walking towards the door and I saw that man standing there, she goes, I didn't think anything of it. I was in a hurry. And it's funny because this shows how the brain processes paranormal activity. We talked about it a ton on this show. We think if you walked in your bedroom and there was an old man sitting on your bed, when I say something like that, we go, well, I'd freak out because there's not supposed to be an old man in my bedroom. I would immediately know that was a ghost. I'd freak out. I'd run. That's not how the brain processes this information in real time. We could see it in day-to-day life, too. Somebody can do something extremely dangerous. They can be telling us a story about something that you did that was dangerous. We could be watching a video. And they're telling us a story, and you're like, what? That's insane. But when you're living the experience, when you're going through it, the brain is processing all that information differently than when we are in a different state of mind. When we're just hearing about it, we're like, what? Weren't you afraid? Dot, dot, dot. But she realized, you know, it took her a moment to process that this old man was not one of her flatmates. He shouldn't have been here. It also took her brain a second to process that he was not completely solid. She said he wasn't completely solid, but he was solid enough that you could make out, like, the type of clothes he was wearing, things like that. It wasn't just an illusion or a trick of the light. It wasn't completely solid, but solid enough to kind of make out details, like it's an old man. After that, she waited till her roommates came back before she went down and got her laundry. And then they blocked off the access to that basement. They moved these heavy boxes in front of that door. She said once the actual basement was blocked off, all activity stopped. She said that she stopped having the nightmares as well. It all ended. That was posted online by someone going by the name JRKD70. And she does state that it wasn't just her group that had experienced that stuff. She did say that after she had moved in, she had ended up running into one of her friends who had rented out one of those apartments before she got there. And when she was talking to this friend, the friend goes, has anything weird happened yet? So it's not that this group was the first to encounter this phantom. Most likely won't be the last if that door is ever unbarricaded. You can block it off with heavy boxes, but when you move out, you're taking those boxes with you. It's a classic ghost story. It is missing some details I think we can fill in, but it's a classic ghost story. And the reason why I wanted to talk to you guys about it is because, again, we talk about ghost theory on this show. This is the evolution of a ghost. This is what we talk about on this show, theoretically. It starts off with, generally speaking, like you may come in halfway through this event. Let's say someone moves out and you move in. But this kind of shows the life cycle of it. Normally, it starts off by you hearing the ghosts. Footsteps. We see a lot of noises. Sometimes it's sense. Sometimes it's the sense of smell. There seems to be a connection between that. This doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes, a lot of times, we see the smells are a personal thing. Your aunt loved a particular type of perfume, and 3 weeks after she died, you're out the house and you get a whiff of the perfume. That's a very common ghost story. They happen so often. Might be one of the most reported types of ghosts. Now, if I walked into that, I think they're usually associated with somebody who knows the person. Because if I walked into a home, I wouldn't be able to place that smell. If I all of a sudden got a whiff of a interesting perfume, I don't know your aunt. But the sounds of footsteps in a house that you're alone in, that is a more noticeable thing. So a lot of times these things start off with footsteps or noises of some sort, sometimes scents. Then we get vocalizations. Then you get visualizations. There can be a little bit of a wiggle room here. They're not hard and set rules. That's the thing with paranormal. We're still figuring it out. And then you get visualizations as far as manifestations. She's seen this ghost. Had they kept this door open for longer, I believe they would have started to experience things moving. Now we have a very, very powerful spirit that we would call a poltergeist. Earlier in the story, I kind of skipped it for time, but now I have to double back and tell it. The cousin who owned the house had heard all this stuff about it being haunted from Felicia and the friends, brought over the Ouija board, and they started asking it questions, and it was giving some oddly accurate answers, things that the cousin did not know previously. And it talked about the basement. So the cousin goes, let's go down to the actual basement. I want to see what's down there. And they walk down there and they open the door and it's dark. In the actual basement, the only way to light it was a light bulb on a string. And they walk down there and Felicia goes to pull the string and she can't find it. She can't find this string in the dark. She's looking around. And then finally she finds the string and she pulls it. The light bulb turns on and then immediately shatters. And they start to hear these odd noises. And then they retreat out of the actual basement back up to the safety of the house. Quote unquote safety of the house. That again, this spirit is gaining power, but it still seems to be regulated to this basement. But it does have control of Felicia's dreams. When she is unconscious, it can control or at least communicate with her through her dreams. A very, very powerful spirit, even though it seems to be locked in a particular area. Now, here's the thing. Was it locked down there or did it prefer to be down there? Was it the fact that these kids kept coming down and playing their instruments super loud? Did they disturb it? And that's why it was doing these things. That's why it was so mad after the first long rehearsal. It made the noises of destruction. It did not actually destroy things. Again, that's poltergeist versus a standard spirit. The piece of information that I'm really curious about, and we'll wrap it up like this, is something we don't have access to. There was really two spirits down there, an old man and a woman. And Felicia kept having dreams about being murdered. So is this a situation where this old man murdered this young girl? And that's why Felicia was having those dreams. You didn't have one spirit, you had two spirits. But One may be the killer and one may be the victim. One may be a murderer who has trapped the soul of one of his victims in the house he murdered her in. You could also argue it's the other way around. The girl may have killed the old man. But the fact that her dreams, Felicia's a woman and she was dreaming of being murdered, makes me think that the young woman, remember they were seeing the woman in the dress down in the basement, that she was a victim. She had been murdered in that house. And this spirit just wanted to be left alone. Block off this basement. Don't come down here anymore. Find somewhere else to do your laundry. Let me exist in the darkness. Let me just sit here. And everything will cease. And they do that, and it does. But what about the soul of that young woman? Where's her peace? It's a terrifying story because it shows the true power of the paranormal and that evolution of power. Whether it was feeding off their fears or feeding off of its own anger, this spirit was becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. And had they not blocked off the access to the basement, I imagine things would have gotten a lot worse in a very short amount of time, considering what a ramp up all of this was. Had they decided to not shut that down, who knows where this story would have ended. But a terrifying story of a ghost that, if this story is true, considering how recent this story is and how strong this spirit was, is probably still active. This house has probably had a dozen tenants in the past 30 some odd years move in and out of it. Some of them may have no reason to go down to the basement, so they don't experience it. Some of them may go, wow, washer and dryer, I'm going to go check it out. I'll start doing all my laundry here. And they go down there and they don't know that hiding within the darkened corners of that basement is an old man watching them. As long as they don't continually interfere, as long as they don't invade his space by playing their loud rock music, as long as they leave him and his kingdom of darkness alone, they may never know that they're sharing this home with a spirit. But if they disturb him, even on accident, if they disrupt the balance of life and death in this home, the old man will let his presence be known. And this time, he may not stop until he has yet another victim, another lost wandering soul, forever trapped in the basement. DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. TikTok is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day. I'm glad you listened to it today.